Welcome to Top Shelf at the Merrick Library with your host, Carol Ann Tack. Welcome to Top Shelf at Merrick Library. I am your host, Carol Ann Tack. Thank you all for joining me. Okay, longtime listeners, we are going right back to Texas, only this time it's West Texas for today's book, The Golden Season, by debut author Madeline K. Sneed. But before I even get to that, I want to give you a little bit about our fantastic guest. Madeline K. Sneed was born and raised in Houston, Texas, a city she dearly loves, despite its sports franchises so often breaking her heart, which I'm a New York fan. I completely understand that. She received her BA in English literature from Baylor University and her MFA in fiction from Emerson College. She frequently writes about the intersection of queerness and faith, which is an obsession of hers. And when she's not doing that, she loves spending time outside with her friends and family in Texas. So Madeline K. Sneed, thank you so much for joining me, the listeners, and the patrons of Merrick Library's Top Shelf podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so happy to see you and talk about this incredible debut, The Golden Season. And I want to start right off with a quote. And the quote comes from a prior guest of the show, Sarah McCraw Crowe. And she says this about The Golden Season. She says, Madeline K. Sneed has written a Friday Night Lights for a new generation, a heartfelt story of finding yourself, coming out, and coming home, a tender, big-hearted exploration of family, first love, and faith with a gorgeously evoked West Texas landscape as a backdrop. And again, that's from Sarah McCraw Crowe. And wow, does she get that 100% right. So The Golden Season hit shelves on May 31st. It's a couple of weeks into your launch. So I guess my question is, Madeline K. Sneed, how you doing?
I am doing great. You know, it's been a whirlwind. It's been fun. It's been a dream come true. All of the above. I'm exhausted in the best way. And I can't believe it. Honestly, I'm just so grateful.
And going out to meet your readers, sign books, man, what a thrill for you.
Absolutely. That's one of those things you don't let yourself think about while you're drafting, because that's the eventual goal. And now that it's here, just connecting with the readers and hearing that it's had some kind of impact on them has just been, I'm just grateful. I keep saying that, and that's the word I'll keep saying throughout this podcast is grateful, because that's the feeling.
And impact is an understatement, because it certainly impacted me. Recently, there was an Instagram post that had pictures of your book launch in Houston. And one photo featured a wine flight that consisted of a Texas Rose or Texas Rosé, a sweet Steinbeck, and a Golden Season. And oh my gosh, I had such serious FOMO, and I'm obviously still thinking about it. What was the sweet Steinbeck?
That was Prosecco, lemon, basil, and like simple syrup, just all stirred up in goodness. It was so good.
You have signature cocktails.
I know. Yeah, the event was at the Texas Tower in downtown Houston, and they know how to throw an event, and they know how to throw a party. And I was like, this is a dream come true. My book has a cocktail. Like, absolutely, yes.
Not one, and not two, three.
That's right. And now that's my expectation for all events. I must have three drinks.
And your book launch has to be there.
Yes, exactly.
So should the stars align and I ever find myself in Houston, Texas, that's where I'm going, and I will be ordering a sweet Steinbeck.
Yes.
So now that my drink selection is all down, and we have that recorded, on to the book. In the quote I read at the top, Sarah talks about The Golden Season being a combination of Friday Night Lights, wrapped around Emmy's story of coming out, grappling with her faith and her relationship with her dad. And man, it is so beautiful what you've done here. And before I keep going on and on, could you please tell listeners about The Golden Season?
Yeah, so The Golden Season is set in a fictional town in West Texas called Steinbeck, Texas, and it focuses on a father, Steve, and his daughter, Emmy. Emmy comes out to him as a lesbian, and they're both steeped in the Southern Baptist tradition that doesn't let Steve accept her for who she is. And he's head football coach in this small town, and the politics of that is really entrenched in Southern Baptist belief, which is unaffirming of queer people in general. So the story follows both of them as they take these separate roads away from each other, and they grapple with the concept of love, acceptance, and authenticity. So it just kind of follows them as they go on that journey, ping-ponging between the two perspectives. And it just really is my thesis on love and what it means to love someone and love yourself.
The dual point of views is exceptional because you're giving us both viewpoints. And I appreciated that both are treated, especially the dads, so kindly and in such a way that, you know, the reader, first of all, the reader is Emmy. All right. I felt like I was her. I was reading everything through her eyes. Before we get to that, could you just tell us what is the backstory for The Golden Season? Because I could talk about this book for another 3 hours, but what's the backstory?
So this was my thesis at Emerson. So in grad school, you had to have either a collection of short stories or a novel as your thesis. And I'm no good at short stories. So I went with the novel, and I was in a literature of evil class in my second semester at Emerson. And we were reading Kafka's The Trial, and my professor, fluent in like a dozen languages, pulled out the original writing of Kafka's letter to his father, which is very famous. And he read it in the original language. And then on the fly, he translated it to, "Dear father, if you want to know why I'm afraid of you." And in that moment, it was like the oxygen left the room. Everything hit me. I was like, this is the book. And so in my first page of The Trial, I have the first like few scenes of The Golden Season written, because that concept of fear with family was something I was like, this is at the heart of everything I'm personally going through. And this is at the heart of what I think these characters are going through. So as I was working on it with my thesis, the working title was, "If You Want to Know Why I'm Afraid of You."
Oh my goodness. What a title.
It was way too long.
But I think it's really accurate.
Yes.
And how did you go back and forth with that title?
Well, I had many titles before we got to The Golden Season.
I love that.
It was like literally my albatross. I couldn't have a title that stuck. We had The Light in West Texas, The Darkness in Between, a couple other things. And then my editor pitched The Golden Season because she was like, well, it's Texas in summer. You know, the dead fields look gold in the sun. It's the golden season for the coach, the father. They go to the state championship. And it's sort of a golden season of Emmy coming out and finding love for the first time. So it works on all these different levels. And I was like, absolutely, we're doing it. I'm in.
And they match the title with this incredibly gorgeous cover.
Yes.
Which, was this the only cover? Did you have other covers?
That was the only cover. So I had made some mood boards. I knew I wanted it to be, you know, I'm a little bit particular. I'm a Virgo. I'm very like,
all good.
I like, my order and my ideas, but I knew I wanted this Texas highway. I wanted a big sky, and I didn't know what to think about the font or typography, but I saw that and I was like, the big gold letters and all caps. I was like, this is it. It just captures the expansiveness of the landscape and the center story being this golden moment in this golden season. And I was just, I can't stop staring at it still. Like, I can't believe this is my cover.
It's like a poster. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yes.
It really is a beauty. And the cover in the library is gorgeous. So when I put it out and display it, everyone's like, wow, look at that. You know, it definitely brings people in. So
yeah, I think it does catch the eye, which is nice.
Gorgeous. Emmy's father is the coach of the Steinbeck Stags. I mean, the name of that team. Come on.
Yeah.
And Emmy's family is part of the Baptist community. She wants to come out. The way, as I said earlier, the way you make the reader a part of Emmy's emotions, a part of her struggle to come out, her first relationships, everything about Emmy is not only on the page for the reader, but it goes straight into our hearts, my heart. And I just don't know how you did that, but it is done so beautifully.
Oh, well, thank you so much for saying that, because Emmy's journey, I think, is the journey of a lot of queer kids in like the South who have been in this Southern Baptist position. And I think there's something to that pain and grief and then joy as you're going through this process. And I really wanted Emmy to encapsulate kind of the dichotomy of coming home in yourself and realizing your home can't accept you for who you are, and navigating that world, not always perfectly, but to the best of your ability. And I think it means a lot to me that that came across on the page, because that's the whole goal with Emmy, is just this struggle, this joy, this confusion, this certainty. She's full of these contradictions, but at the end, she comes to her own sense of authentic certainty with where she needs to be in her life.
It's an amazing process to watch her mature this way. We're in the passenger seat as she's driving this car. It's just an amazing thing that she does. I recently hosted Nina LaCour for Yerba Buena. And one of the things she talks about with her characters is being able to love themselves before they can love someone else. And you did that here with Emmy.
Yeah, I love that quote, because I think that that is just such the journey for Emmy, because, you know, she falls in love with someone and she thinks that love's going to save her, because she's still steeped in this Southern Baptist ideology of needing a savior and only finding worth in yourself if you have someone there to save you. But at the end of the day, you can only save yourself and you can only really love yourself. And once you get there, you can love other people and love the life you're living. And from love within stems love without. And I think that that's such an important lesson for her to learn and for me to learn as I was writing it.
Everything you just said should either be on a t-shirt, on a placard somewhere, you know, that you can sort of hold up that sign, because it's beautiful. What you just said is your book. And you've done an amazing thing here. So I am really grateful for that. And there is a second quote about the golden season that I do want to share. And I do share these quotes because they are all true. And the fact that they are said by authors way better than I could, because they are the experts. But author Julia Glass says about the golden season, it's about growing up, coming out, and standing tough for what your heart knows is true. But it's also a magnanimous love letter to a place where family, faith, and football are the holy trinity, and wildflowers bloom for miles under an endless blue sky. Madeline, that review.
Oh, it's my jaw. Every time I hear it, my jaw is on the floor. It's just so kind and so generous. And I love Julia Glass as a human and as a writer. And I was just absolutely blown away.
And what she says, and then you look at the cover, right? So West Texas is a character in this book, just like, if I could think most recently, West Texas is for Valentine, Elizabeth Wetmore's book, and East Texas is for James Wade's River Sing Out, and May Cobb's My Summer Darling, of course, the work of Paulette Giles, so many others. It's obvious I have a thing for Texas. talk about writing the beauty that is West Texas.
West Texas is this place that you don't think of as inherently beautiful, but I think that's the thing about landscapes that you grew up in and landscapes that are your home. And I didn't grow up in West Texas, but my dad did. So, you know, I traveled out there in my childhood. And I think there's a sense of wonder in the flatness, in the deadness, in the brownness that kind of captures your imagination. And I was living in Boston. Boston is so opposite of Texas, yeah, right?
For sure.
In so many ways. But I found myself longing for the landscape of Texas. Even if I didn't miss the culture or the oppressiveness, I did miss the physical landscape. And so as I was writing this, it is my little love letter to Texas, because I was kind of struck and surprised that this landscape and this place had seated itself so deeply within me. And that made me realize, like, this place is such a part of myself. All the badness, all the goodness, all the beauty, all the places that need some work. I needed to funnel that into this place and into these characters, because Texas is such a big deal for Emmy and Steve. It's just kind of sewn into every moment of their life. And I couldn't write this novel without having the Texas landscape a huge center point in it.
And you can tell that it is this love letter, like you're saying, because that's what I got. It's a beautiful rendering. You've done beautiful things with it. So you are off to the races with this book. Your website is terrific. One of the favorite things on your website that I love is you have a couple of your the essays you've written. One of them from 2019, Pressuring Christian Universities to Be Affirming. This is such an important article. I've loved it. I've printed it out. I've shared it. I've emailed it to people. This is an incredible piece. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. That piece means a lot to me. I went to Baylor University for my undergrad, and Baylor is the largest Baptist university, I think, in the world. And they're having to actually answer this question of what to do with their queer students because their donors and the regents don't want to accept them because they have an antiquated view of what it means to love someone. They say, because we are Christian, because we are Baptist, we can't accept, promote, or include people who are queer. And to me, I was like, I've read Jesus's words. I've known this tradition. If you're going to reject people because of who they are, if you're going to tell them that they're not enough because of who they are, if you're going to outcast someone because of who they are, you have missed the point. It is about love. It is about acceptance, and it is about expansion. And if you're not willing to expand your heart and your horizons in order to more fully accept and love people, then you've failed on the mission of what it is to be a Christian and a Christian university.
And you weave that piece into Steve's character.
Yes.
Good on you. I'm getting the chills as I say that because I read the book first, then went to your website because I don't want to know anything about an author or anything until I read the book. And I was like, look what she did here.
Mm-hmm. I think it was really important for me to have a character who's steeped in this belief who isn't a caricature. Because I remember I was workshopping the novel and people were like, oh, Steve must be like secretly gay because that's the only reason he's homophobic. And I was like, no, this is like a deeply seated belief. Like since the time we're young, we're taught the right and quote unquote right and wrong way to be a person in the world. This is a deeply seated belief. And so I needed to kind of articulate that what Steve is doing here is really trying to love Emmy, but because his definition of love comes from this place that's not accepting, that's not expansive, he can't fully love his daughter in the way that he needs to. And that's really heartbreaking to me because it's not something I make fun of. It's not something I mock. I just think it's really upsettingly sad that you would deprive yourself of love in the name of salvation, in the name of being right, in the name of whatever you want to call it. I just think that that's a missed opportunity to really grow and love and have this moment of joy and expansion. And Steve struggles with that. And that's his central struggle. I won't give away his place at the end, but that was really important to me to just make sure that that was not a caricature, not making fun of him, but coming from a real place. Because this is the root of a lot of people who are not affirming to LGBTQ people. It comes from this place of, I think, a misunderstanding of what it means to love someone.
The whole book from beginning to end talks about this issue. It's a huge issue and watching Emmy try to get through it. And it's just so beautifully done. This book is on shelves everywhere. It's in the library. Hooray. Where can readers find you on social media? And of course, in case you decide to share more cocktails with us, where can readers find you? Whatever the latest and the greatest is for Madeline K. Sneed.
You can find me on Instagram at Mads Sneed, which is M-A-D-Z-S-N-E-E-D. It is a college username that I haven't changed. And I'm also on Twitter, but I use it less frequently at Madeline Sneed.
Okay. Anything you could share with listeners about what might be next for you?
Yes, I'm currently writing my second novel, which is a wedding story. It's a Texas wedding set in Florida. So a Texas wedding party set in Florida. Takes place all in one day. It's an ensemble novel. It's really fun. It's chaotic. It's just everything you would want out of a messy wedding. Multiple perspectives. It's really fun to write. It's a little different from the Golden Season, but so much fun. I'm really looking forward to sharing it.
So three of my favorite things you just said there, Texas, weddings, and Madeline K. Sneed.
Oh, that's sweet.
I mean, how could that be? Life can't be any better than that. So I am thrilled to hear that. And hopefully you'll come back to talk about that book when it's ready.
Of course.
That would be amazing. Any book recommendations you can share with listeners?
Yes. So I just finished reading Vigil Harbor by the wonderful Julia Glass. It's kind of a climate science fiction story set in the East Coast coastal town. It's phenomenal. Multiple perspectives. Julia Glass is a master in character study, and so you should pick it up for that reason alone. And I am currently reading The Burning Season by Allison Wisdom, which comes out July 5th. It's set in Texas in a cult, and it is absolutely phenomenal on the line level and on the conceptual level. Allison Wisdom is a beautiful writer, native Texan. Support her, y'all. She's so good.
I actually always feel embarrassed when I go to say y'all, because I'm like, no, this Brooklyn accent and y'all, it's just not, there's something wrong.
Everyone can say y'all. It's so good.
I would never co-opt. It's like me trying to somebody tell somebody to say, how you doing? You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I couldn't quite say that.
Well, maybe you could. We could practice. You'll teach me y'all. I'll teach you to say, how you doing?
There we go.
Oh my gosh. This has been amazing. I will put all of the links where you can find everything about Madeline K. Snead on the podcast page for this episode. Today's book, The Golden Season, by today's guest, Madeline K. Snead, like I said, is on shelves everywhere. The Golden Season is published by Graydon House Books. Thank you so much, Madeline, for joining me and listeners today on Merrick Library's Top Shelf. I am so grateful. And once again, I will make a shameless plea for you to come back and join me for whatever you do next.
Thank you so much. I'm absolutely coming back. This was so much fun.
So great. Listeners, I thank all of you for joining me today. Remember to follow Top Shelf at Merrick Library on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you find most podcasts. For the latest and the greatest at the Merrick Library, check out our website at merricklibrary.org. Special thanks to Merrick Library Director Dan Chusmere, Assistant Director Diane Bondi, and the Merrick Library Board of Directors for getting us off the ground and on to the airwaves. Until the next time, remember to keep us on your top shelf.